Guten Chodesh. Today's daf is Midos daf Lamed Zayin. We are holding the very last daf of Maseches Midos and the last daf of Seder Kachin that we do in the daf Yomi. And Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we move on to Maseches Nida, the last Masechta that we do in daf Yomi. So let's continue in our discussion of how the Beis HaMikdash looked, all the different parts of the Beis HaMikdash. So we discussed yesterday, we began the fourth parak where we discussed what the Heichal was like, how the Pesach of the Heichal was 20 amos high and 10 amos wide, and all the doors and how the doors would open up, and the pishpashim that went from the that existed by the Shar HaGadol, etc. We went through all of we began that discussion. So now the Mishnah goes on to tell us Ushloshim Ushmona Ta'im Hayusham. There were 38 ta'im there. Ta'im are small rooms, not necessarily so small, but there were small rooms that were adjacent to or surrounded, really, I should say, the Heichal. And Chamisha Asar B'Tzafon, Chamisha Asar B'Darom, Ushmona B'Marav. They had 15 in the northern side, 15 on the southern side, and 8 on the western side, none on the eastern side, because that's how you would enter. You'd enter through the east, and then on the right, left, and in front of you, behind the walls, there were these rooms. But again, it was behind the walls. It wasn't you didn't see them right when you walked in. So then they worked as follows. Excuse me. Shmona b'mar. What do we say? Shabbat Safon, when it was in the ones in the northern side and in the southern side were chamisha al gabi chamisha v'chamisha al gabehim. Were three levels of five each. So there were five on the ground level, five in the middle level, and five on the top level on each the northern and the southern side. And that's how you had 15 on each side. That made up for 30 out of the 38 ta'im. V'shabimarav. And on the western side, meaning all the way behind the Kodesh HaKodashim, on the western side, Shlosh al gabi Shlosha, Ushnayim al gabeim. There was a lower level of three, the second level had three, and the top level had two. So that was an additional eight. Ushlosh psachim ayil kal echad ve'echad. And each of these ta'im, each of these rooms, had three doorways into it. Echad ha'atomi yamin, vech la'atomi yasmol, vech la'ato shal gabav. One to the right, one to the left, and one to the ta that was above it. U'bekaren mizrachis tzvonis hayu chamisha psachim. And the one that was in the northeastern side actually had five doorways. Echad ha'atomi yamin, vech la'ato shal gabav, ve'echad mesiba, one that went up to this Mesiba, which was like this windy staircase, ve'echel pishpesh ve'echel heichal, one to the pishpesh and one to the heichal itself. Mishnah Dalet hatachton chamisha ve'rovat shisha ve'emtsa is shisha ve'rovat sheva ve'alyona sheva. Now each of these ta'im had different dimensions of width based on the width of the wall in that location, meaning if there was more wall, there's obviously less open space. Less wall, more open space in the room. So the bottom layer one was 5 amos wide, and the wall was 6 amos wide. The emtsayis, the middle level one, was 6 amos wide. The wall was therefore 7 amos wide. The elyona, which the elyona was 7, shemar yetziyat achtonu chamish ba'ama rachba. Fine, that's the pasuk. Mishnah Hey, u'mesiba isa ola mikaren mizrachas tzvonis, mikaren tzvonis ma'aravis. And there was a mesiba, again, this like windy type of staircase that went up from the Karen Mizrachis Tzvonis, from the northeastern corner to the northwestern corner. Shebahayu olin legagos ha'ta'im. That's how they would go up to the roofs on top of the ta'im. Haya olu b'mesiba, you'd go up on this windy staircase, upanav l'marav, and he'd be facing the west. Halach al kol p'nei atzafon, and he would go all across the northern side, ad shumagil l'marav, until he reached the west. He gil l'marav, v'afach panav l'darim. He then reached the west, and he would turn his face toward the south, halach klape marav, ad shumagil l'darim. And he would go along the western side, going from north to south, until he reached the south. He gear klape adarom vayupanav lemizrach. He then get to the southern side and he would be facing east. Hayimahalik Badar, Machamagil Pischa Shalalia. He would then go along the southern side until he reached the Pesach of the Aliyah, the Pesach to go to the roofs. Shapischa Shalalia Pasuach Klape Adarum. The Pesach of the Aliyah was open toward the south, toward the southern side. Upischa Shalalia Hayu Beis Klunzos Shal Erez. And by the Pesach of the Aliyah, there were these two wooden beams. Shebehen Hayu Olin Lagaga Shal Aliyah. And through that they would go up to the roof of the Aliyah. Uberoshon Pispasin Mavdil Be'aliyah Bein HaKodesh Lebein Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now in the Aliyah, the area on top, the Gag Aliyah, the area on top of the of the Heichal, of the Kodesh, they had to mark off where you were on top of the Kodesh and where you were on top of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So they had these little markers to show you where not to go, where is beyond the area of the Kodesh and would be stepping over into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'lulin ha'yu psuchim ba'aliyah lebeis Kodesh HaKadoshim. And there were these small skylights, I guess, these little holes that would open up from the roof down into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, shebehen oy mishalshalin esu umnin betevos kedei shlo yozunu einayim beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. And through those little holes in the roof of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they would lower down the workers when something needed to be repaired, when something needed to be fixed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They would lower down the workers through these holes in boxes. They were not just lowered down in a harness. They were lowered down in a box. And the reason they had to be in a box is so that they wouldn't let their eyes enjoy the sight of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so that they shouldn't get unnecessary hana'a from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Rambam Perashat Mishnayos writes, in the Aliyas Hagag of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they would open up these small Psachim Kemin Arubos, again using that terminology of skylights, where they would lower down the Umnin in these closed boxes, the boxes the Rambam describes as being closed on three sides, Shalosh Melchitos, so that their eyes won't enjoy they won't get Hana from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This is this is echoed by all the other Rishonim, the Rush and the Tosyantif in the name of the Ravya. The Sfasemes and Maseches Psachim and the Afchavav is Medayik, that it sounds that these boxes were closed on all sides, and therefore he asked if they entered in these boxes, why did they have to go Derech Halulim? If they were going in these boxes, they could have gone straight through the front door of the Pesach Kodesh HaKadoshim. Meaning, if the point is they were closed on all sides, so you weren't seeing anything anyway, and you just had this little opening to fix whatever you needed to fix, so why did they have to be lowered down Derech Halulim? Let them go in the normal way. So he said they did this because there were two issues. There's one of getting Hanar from the base Kodesh HaKadoshim, of just seeing and enjoying the view of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then there's the other issue of Bia, of going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, of actual entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And if it's a Bia Shalok, well, not to use the term Bia Shalokadarka, it's a different terminology over here, but if it was not the Derech Bia, let's call it that way, if it's not the Derech Bia, it was not the normal way to walk in, so then it wouldn't be a violation of the Bia of going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then to solve the problem of being Nene from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you had these boxes. Right? Meaning, even though it was obviously usher to generally go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, except for the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, and even to the Heichal, you're not allowed to go Shalol Tzorach Avoda, but this is obviously the Tzorach Mitzvah, because this is Tzorach Tikkun, and therefore it's obviously Mutter to go in for this tzorech of the tikkun of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, says the next Mishnah. Mishnah Vav. V'heichal meya al meya al rom meya. The heichal itself was 100 amos by 100 amos by a height of 100 amos. Counting all the walls and everything. We'll see soon how to measure this. Ha'otem sheish amos. Now going from on the height of the heichal, measuring how we figure out the height of 100 amos. So the otem is sheish amos. What's otem? Otem is closed off area. What does it mean, closed off? It means a floor. The floor itself was 6 amos solid of floor. Flooring, so it wasn't something that was open, that was usable space. It was just six amos elevated, six amos. Amos above the ground below it, and that's why you needed 12 steps to go up into the Heichal, each of them a half an Amah high, in order to reach the height of this 6 Amos of flooring. The Gova Arba'im Amah, now the actual airspace inside the Heichal was 40 Amos high. The Amakir, then they had 1 Amah of decoration that went around it. The Amasayim Beis Dilfa, and then they had 2 Amos of brackets that were going to support the next level, the amatikra, and 1 amma of ceiling, the amma ma'aziva, and 1 amma of the floor for the second level, meaning the next level had to have flooring, so that was 1 amma of flooring, the gova shalaliya mem amma, and then you had 40 ammos of the second floor. The second floor was 40 ammos high, it was airspace of 40 ammos high. Amakir, then again you had another amma of decoration, vamasayim beis dilfa, and another 2 amos of bracketing, amatikra, then another amma of ceiling, va'amma maziva, and another amma of flooring for the third story, the gimel amos maka, and you had 3 amma of 3 amos of a maka, because you had to walk around on the roof over there, you needed a maka, otherwise this is very, very high up, it could have been extremely dangerous, so 3 amos of a maka, va'amma kala orev, and then amma of kala orev. Kala orev probably translates as getting rid of the birds, getting rid of the ravens. So they had 1 amma of something there to get rid of the ravens. We'll see in a second what that was. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo yakala orev ola min amida ela arba amos ha'imaka. He says, no, the kala orev doesn't count toward the measurement of 100 amos. So you have to say is that the maka itself was 4 amos tall, because they couldn't have an amma of kala orev. So the Rush explains that they made tavlaus shel barzel, where they had wooden nails sticking out of it, sharp wooden nail. Sharp iron nails. I don't know why I said wood. Where they had mismarus chadin, these sharp nails that were sticking out of it to stop the orvim from resting on top of the Beis HaMikdash, because if the Orev would rest on top of the Beis HaMikdash, he would be mevia satuma. He would sometimes bring things in his mouth that are tame and would cause tuma to be on the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what they had on the entire, these tiles were covered the entire gag of the Heichal. So they were 1 amma tall because they had these nails, that were 1 amma, sharp nails sticking out of it, so no bird could rest on the gag of the Heichal. And the Rush quotes that the Aruch explains that it wasn't nails. The Aruch explains a little different, that it was a tsura lahavriach ha'ofos, k'derech sh'osim shomrim ha'peros, that it was an image to get rid of the peros, to get rid of the birds, just like people who watch peros do, which is obviously scarecrow, meaning they had a scarecrow to scare away all of the birds. The Ram Pirush HaMishnayos writes that the Amakilya Orev is a tas shel barzel kamos sayef, it was like a sword. It was a sharp edge, much more similar to the way the Rush explains, that the birds wouldn't land on it because they would cut their feet if they would land on it. The sounds like that it only stopped them from resting on it. From the Rush, it sounds like it would stop them even from flying over that area. But the Rambam sounds more like it was to stop them from actually landing on that area. So again, this is a major discussion that we've shown him about what exactly the Kala Orev was. The Talmud Rabbeinu Yechiel mi Paris writes that the idea was, why are we so careful? We don't want Orvim resting on the Gag. So he says they'll just make it dirty, and that's why the Gag Heichal was mitzupa b'tavlo sheirach v'sama lamu kalachas einot shvud shel barzel arachama achas v'zakuf l'mal v'chad b'rosho, not because of tuma, but they would make it dirty. They birds relieve themselves, and birds they would just make a mess up there, and we want to keep the dignity of the Beis HaMikdash. There is a further machlokas rishonim. The Tos discusses in a few places in Shas, Menachos Daf Kuf Zayin and Shabbos Daf Tzadi in Eruch and Davav, if this Kalya Orev was only in the Mikdash Sheni or also in the Mikdash Rishon, based on the higher level of Kedusha that they had in the Mikdash Rishon, maybe they didn't need the Kalya Orev. Maybe the birds wouldn't come anyway. That's what the Aruch Baruch Hu, that this was only in the Mikdash Sheni where the Kedusha was a lower level of Kedusha. That's what we're told, that when they came back after 70 years of Galus Bavel and they went to build the second base of Mikdash, the old men who remembered the first base of Mikdash were extremely distressed by the differences between the first base of Mikdash and the second base of Mikdash. It just wasn't the same. You didn't have the daily miracles. You didn't have the Kedusha quite at the same level in the second base of Mikdash that they had in the first base of Mikdash. So in the first base of Mikdash, maybe they didn't even require a Kalya Orev, or maybe no. By Mikdash Rishon, they also did a Kalya Orev, and that's the Shita of Tosos. Tosos brings a Raya that they must have had it by Mikdash Rishon from a Gemara Moed Katan, Daf Tesem and Aleph, that says that Shlomo HaMelech built the Bayis Rishon, made a Kalya Orev. So obviously, if Shlomo HaMelech made one, he must have made one for the needs of the first base of Mikdash. There must have been one in the first base of Mikdash. Otherwise, what was Shlomo HaMelech doing? So the Tosas brings a Raya that it must be that they had it in the first base of Mikdash. But Tosas themselves reject the Raya and say, no, it could be that Shlomo HaMelech was afraid that he's going to build the base of Mikdash and the Kedusha is not going to be as intense as he would have hoped. And therefore, initially, he made it because he wasn't going to rely on the fact that the Kedusha was going to be quite at that level. Once he saw that the Kedusha was there, though, maybe they took it down. Maybe they dismantled it. They removed it because there was no necessity for the Kalya Orev. Now, that may make a difference what you hold the Kalya Orev was. If it was the entire tiling of the roof, so then it's hard to imagine. Why would they dismantle? It still looks nice. It was still fine. Lechora wouldn't be such a need to dismantle. But if it's a scarecrow that sat atop the building, so once there's no need for a scarecrow, much easier to just remove the scarecrow when you realize that there's no need for it. It's also possible that he had it even though there was no need for it, meaning you have to remember we're talking about the Kedusha of even people at that time. When we learned about in the Gemara Masechta Sukkah, when it talks about the 80 Talmidim of Hillel HaZaken, right, where the greatest of them, I think we say, was Yonasan ben Aziel. And what was so great about him that when he would learn Torah, a bird that would fly overhead would completely burn. One would imagine the Kedusha of the first base of Mikdash was at least that level of Kedusha, which would also probably affect birds in an impactful way. It could be they didn't need the Kalya Orev in the first Beis HaMikdash, but the Beis HaMikdash didn't need Shmira either. Yet we do it as a way of showing kavod, as a way of saying that this is this is the building where we connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as such we're going to be very careful about the way we treat it and the way we show our sense of respect for this building. So it's it could be, even when it's not needed, that it was important to have it anyway. There is also a further machlokas Rishonim, exactly where this Kalya Orev was placed. The Rambam, in Beis HaBechir, Perek Dalet, Halacha Gimel, and in the Perish HaMishnayos over here, says that they placed it on the Makkah, which was on the Gag HaAliyah. They placed it on top of the fence that surrounded the roof of the Aliyah. However, Rashi, in Moed Katan, Daf Tesam and Aleph, says that it was on the Gag, B'makom Shei Mekatzer Va'olo Magia L'Shir Amma, where the Gag would come to an end, to an end, and would reach one Amma of a flat area. So they would take that on that spot is where they would put the Kalya Orev. The Shita of the Rosh is that it was both on the Gag and on the Makkah, is that both are correct. They would put it on the Gag and on the Makkah. Okay, but either way, that's what this Kalya Orev was there for, to scare away the birds, and just a machlokas tanoim, whether it counted toward the minyan, it counted toward the 100 amos of height that there was by the Heichal. Moving on to Mishnah Zayin now, Mimizrach l'marav mea amos. So we said from east to west, and again, remember, we go in through the east and the further back in the Beis HaMikdash toward the west, so from east to west, that's why the Kosel HaMaravi is behind where the Beis HaMikdash, right? We're like, the Kosel HaMaravi that we go to is behind where the Kodesh HaKadoshim was. It's not the way you would go in, it's the way, right, it's the back of the Beis HaMikdash complex. So Mimizrach l'marav mea amos, going from east to west is 100 amos. How do we figure 100 amos? Kosel ha'ulam chamesh, the actual thickness of the wall of the ulam is 5 amos. Va'ulam achadasar, the ulam itself is 11 amos. Kosel ha'heichal sheish, the wall of the heichal is another 6 amos. V'tocho arba imama, then the heichal itself was 40 amos. Amatraxin. Then you had the Amatraxin that separated the Heichal, which is otherwise known as the Kodesh, from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That was one of the differences between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash, whether that Amatraxin was Binyan or was it Paroches. Was it made of Binyan? The Gemara in Bava Basra discusses. Was it solid wall, or was it just curtains that hung? And the difference is that it was only one amma in width. So depending on the height of the Beis HaMikdash, that determined whether it could support a wall of binyan that was of a certain height. So since the Bayis HaSheni was gadol and the Bayis HaRishon was taller than the first Beis HaMikdash, they could no longer, with that one amma of width, could no longer support a wall of that height. So they needed to use, instead, curtains. So that's what the Gemara Bava Basra says. So anyway, either way, that was one amma of width. The Esrim Amma based Kodesh HaKadoshim, the actual Kodesh HaKadoshim itself, was an additional 20 amos. Kosal HaHechel Sheish. Then you had the back wall of the Hechel was 6 amos wide. And remember, behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim, behind the wall that's behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they had these rooms still, right? They had the 8 rooms, 3 levels, 3, 3, and 2. So Vata Sheish. V'kosla Ta Chamesh. The Ta itself was 6, and the wall of the Ta, the thickness of the wall behind the Ta, was 5 amos. Again, that wasn't exactly the same on all 3 levels, but we're giving a basic estimate. So that's how we got to the 100 amos going from east to west. Do the math, it comes out to 100. I trust. I didn't really do the math. Minatzaf on the darom, it's arithmetic, so it's easy to do. Minatzaf on the darom, from north to south, so Shivim Amma was 70 amos. Kosal HaMasiba Chamesh, the Kosal of the Masiba was 5 amos. Again, the Masiba was that windy staircase, if you call it, that windy alleyway, whatever you want to call it. V'HaMasiba Shalosh, the Masiba itself was Shalosh. Kosel hata chamesh, the kosel of the ta was 5, hata sheish, and the ta itself was 6. Kosel hahechel sheish, the wall of the hechel was 6 amos. Vitocho esrim amma, the hechel itself was 20 amos wide. Kosel hahechel sheish, the other wall of the kosel on the of the hechel on the other side was another 6 amos. Vahata sheish, the width of the ta itself on the other side was another 6 amos. Vekosel hata chamesh, then another 5 amos for the kosel hata. Ubeis haradas hamayim shalosh amos. The base haradas hamayim was 3 amos. Va'kosel chamesh, and the wall of that area was 5 amos. Va'kosel chamesh amos ha'ulam odef alav chamesh esrei amma min atzafon v'chamesh esrei amma min adaram. The ulam went 15 amos further north and further south than the heichal itself. Ruaya nikra beis hachalifos, and that area was called the beis hachalifos shesham gonzim es hasakinin. That's where they would hide the knives. V'heichal tsar me'achorav v'rachav milafanav. The heichal itself was narrower in the back and wider in the front. V'domla arian. That's similar to the build of the body of a lion, where it's broader in the shoulders. Shenemar have ariel kiryas chana davin ma'arit tsar me'achorav v'rachav milafanav. Just like an ari has a narrow back and a wider front, so the hechel as well had this the same basic build of being narrow in the back and wider in the front. Okay, weiter now, the fifth parak of Maseches Midos, Mishnah Aleph. The entire Azara, by the way, if you want to get like a real good tour of they have a video now, a very good tour of the Beis HaMikdash. It's kedai to spend a little time just actually watching it, going through the walkthrough tour of the Beis HaMikdash. They take you into each of the rooms. It's like a virtual tour. It gives you more in whatever it is, a half hour, than you get from hours and hours of reading the words. Sometimes a picture is worth 1,000 words. So you get a, obviously they're assuming certain shitos and mishonim or whatever, but they tell you what they're assuming. So anyway, kala azara isa orach meyu shmonim v'sheva al roch of meyu shloshim v'chamesh. The entire azara was 187 long by 135 wide. Min a mizrach l'marav Kuf Pei Zayin. When we say 187 amos long, it means going from east to west was 187 amos. Makom Drisas Ragle Yisrael Yud Aleph. So now we're not just talking about the Eichel, we're talking about the entire Azara. So Makom Drisas Ragle Yisrael Yud Aleph Amma. You had 11 amos where you had the Ezra Yisrael. Makom Drisas HaKohanim Achas Esrei Amma. We already described this, how the Ezra's Kohanim and the Ezra Yisrael were each 11 amos going from east to west and 135 amos going from north to south. Hamizbeach shloshim u'shtayim. Then the mizbeach itself was 32 amos. Beinu ulam, again going from east to west, it was 32 amos. From north to south, you also had the kevesh, which took up an additional 30 amos. Even though the kevesh itself was 32 amos, but it overlapped 2 amos with the mizbeach, because the yisod and the sovev, the kevesh went above the yisod and the sovev, and therefore it overlapped 2 amos with the mizbeach. But that was north to south. Going east to west, the mizbeach was 32 amos, and that's it. So mizbeach was shloshim u'shtayim. Beino ulam v'la mizbeach, between the ulam and the mizbeach, esrim u'shtayim amos, you had 22 amos. Ha heichal kuf amma, not the chel, that's obviously a typo, so it changes it in the side of the Gemara. The heichal itself was kuf amma. How do we get to kuf amma? Well, we described that in the last parak. We already went through the 100 amos of the heichal. V'achas asrei amma l'achori beis hakaporis, and then you had 11 amos behind the beis hakaporis, meaning behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim, behind that whole area, behind the heichal. So that was from east to west. Now, minatzaf l'darom the azara, going from north to south was as follows. Meu shloshim chamesh. We said it was 135 amos. So kevesh from mizbeach shishim shtayim. The kevesh from the mizbeach itself was 62 amos. Again, that's exactly correct. Even though each one was 32 amos, there was 2 amos of overlap, and therefore it's not 64; it's 62 amos. Min hamizbeach. And again, like we said when we learned about the mizbeach, the kevesh, when we say it's 32 amos, does not mean 32 amos along the angle of the ramp. It means floor space of 32 amos, but it's floor space of 30 amos really, because the overlap of the ramp that went up the yisod and up the sovev of the mizbeach. Min hamizbeach v'tabaos shmona amos, from the mizbeach to the rings where they would shecht the animals, the rings that would hold the animal's neck down for shechita, so that was another 8 amos. Makom ha-tabaos esrim arba'a, the tabaos themselves were 24 amos. Min ha-tabaos l'shulchanos arba'a, and from the tabaos to the shulchanos was an additional 4 amos. From the shulchanos to the short wooden poles that we spoke about, these short wooden poles that were in the ground where they would hang the animals to skin them, was an additional 4 amos. Min ananasin lekosel azara shmona amos, from the nanasin until the kosel azara was another 8 amos. Notice doesn't tell us how much the nanasin themselves took up. So that's what the and also it just started with the mizbeach, with the kevesh and the mizbeach. Well, how did you get on the ramp if the ramp started at the wall? So obviously there were two areas that at this point in the Mishnah hasn't told us how much space they would take up. The area between the wall and the ramp, and the area that the nanasim themselves took up. So the Mishnah just tells us, yeah, v'amosar, and the rest of the space, you have to divide it up and figure out, bein hakevesh l'kosa l'makom ananasin, between the wall and the where the ramp began, and the makom ananasin, the place of the nanasim themselves, that you have to figure out based on what was left. Okay, Mishnah Gimel. Sheish l'shachos hayu ba'azara. There were 6 lishchos in the azara. There were 6 extra rooms in the azara. Shalosh b'tzafon v'shalosh b'darim. There were 3 in the northern side of the azara and 3 in the southern side of the azara, which means on the sides of the azara. Because again, east to west is going further in to the azara toward the heichal, toward the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So when we talk about north and south, we're talking along the side walls of the azara. There were 6 lishchos, 3 on each side. The shebedarim, it changes to in the sheet Kabbat says, Lishchas HaMelech, Lishchas HaParva, and Lishchas HaMadichin. The 3 rooms were the Lishchas HaMelech, the Lishchas HaParva, and the Lishchas HaMadichin. Lishchas HaMelech, Shama Yunos HaMelech LeKarban. Lishchas HaMelech is where they would salt the Karban. Lishchas HaParva, Shama Yumolchin Oros Kodshim. Lishchas HaParva is the place where they would salt the Oros, the hides of the Karbanos. Va'al Gaga And the Gag of Lishchas HaParva is where they had a mikvah for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Lishchas HaMadichin, Shoshama Yom Madichin, Kirvei HaKadshim. And the Lishchas HaMadichin is where they would rinse out the intestines of the various korbanos. Umisham Masiba Olo LeGag Beis HaParva. And that's where they had a staircase that went up to the Gag Beis HaParva, and that's how you would access the Gag Beis HaParva when the Kohen Gadol needed to do his tefillah on Yom Kippurim. Why is it called Lishchas HaParva? So the Rush quotes from a Gemara in Maseches Yuma on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, where a parva is amgusha, which is a mechashef. Rashi says there was a guy who was a mechashef who practiced kishuf, whose name was Parva, who built the Lishchas HaParva. The Rush says he was a Yisrael, he was a Jew. If he was a guy, then we would not have allowed him to be involved in the Binyan Beis Hamikdash. So the Miri and Yuma ask a question: how is it possible that we call the Lishcha based on someone who's also in Kishuv, on the name of someone who's also in Kishuv, meaning Kishuv is also, it's an Issa Daraisa to be also in Kishuv, and he built this place with Kishuv. How is it possible that we can call it that, when we remember that Latov, we call it by that name? So he says it must be that this was after he did Tshuva, that Makom Shebali Tshuva Amdim Ein Tzadik and Gemurim Amdim, this is after he did Tshuva from doing Kishuv, and therefore we called it by his name, to let everyone know that look what you could accomplish if you do Tshuva. You could even have one of the Shachos in the Beis HaMikdash named after you. The Bartanura adds that he mentioned before, that he actually built this room Al Yidei Kishuv. So the Tos Yontif says he can't imagine that. How is it possible that they would leave a building, a room in the building, in the complex of the Beis HaMikdash that was made Al Yidei Kishuv? He said he can't imagine that something that was made Be'isser would be allowed to remain as part of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Tiferes Yisrael says, no, he didn't build it Al Yidei Kishuv. He brought Mayim to the Gag of the Lishcha with an unbelievable system that he had with pipes or whatever going through the walls of the Kosel, and that's what they called it. They called it a mechashef, meaning it's like when someone does something amazing, like, he's a magician. We're not saying he's actually a magician. We know that there's some logic to it and there's some way that he managed to figure it out, but he was like a magician, that he managed to figure out this complex system where he's going to supply water without pumps. I don't know what, how do they have without electrical pumps or anything else, and he's going to be able to supply water to defy gravity to the mikvah that's on the roof of the Beis HaParva. So that was pretty impressive. The Rush over here quotes a totally different pshat in how it got this name, Lishchas HaParva, based on Tosfos and Yuma, the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that this Lishcha was called based on the Mechashef that built it. No, there was a Mechashef that built that dug an underground tunnel to try to get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to see the Avodas Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur, and they caught him when he got right to this area. This is where they caught they caught him digging, and they killed him for trying to get in. So they called it Lishchas HaParva to remind themselves of the great miracle, the great catch that they had, that they got him before he got too far. So the Siach Yitzchak in Yuma says that even though he was a Rasha, they called it based on his name, L'man Yishru V'yiru Sha'asu Lasas K'maisa Sha'asu Zeh. So that it'll be a lesson for everybody. Everyone's going to say, why is that called Lishchas HaParva? Oh, there was a guy who was caught trying to go beyond the area where he was allowed to go, and we killed him, we took care of him. And that way everyone's going to know, you have to know your limitations, you have to know where one is allowed and is not allowed to go. Right to the next mission, Dalin now, Shabadarim Lishchas HaEitz, on the southern side, again, there were three Lishachas as well, so you have Lishchas HaEitz, Lishchas HaGola, and Lishchas HaGazis. Lishchas HaEitz, Amar Rav Lazar ben Yaakov, Shechachti Ma'isam HaShameshas. Rav Lazar ben Yaakov says, I don't really remember what Lishchas HaEitz was used for. Abishalom, Lishchas Kohen Gadol, Abishalom says, it was the Lishchas of the Kohen Gadol, it was where the Kohen Gadol would stay. The Ravid said it was called Lishchas HaEitz, the Ravid writes, because it was Asuya Me'etz, it was made out of wood. And he says, this is not a violation of L'sita L'chasher, Kol Eitz and L'zbach Hashem, because that whole Isser is only Be'ezras Kohanim, from the Sharni Karnar V'lefnim. But this Lishcha was not in the Ezras Kohanim, and therefore it's not an Isser of making it out of Eitz. The Radvaz says, no, it wasn't Kula Me'etz, it was Mekura Be'etz. Its ceiling was made out of Eitz, as opposed to having a kippah, having some sort of dome, like the other Lishachos had. Because the Mishnah writes that this Lishka was not made out of Eitz at all. It was called Lishka Se'etz because every once in a while they would keep wood there, but not that it was actually made out of Eitz. So that's how it got the name Lishka Se'etz. He said because the Mishnah says it's Mistaver that way, because if this Lishka was made out of Eitz, it's a Davar Tema. Why would they make this Lishka out of a different material than they would make every other Lishka? Every other Lishka is made out of Avanim, and they dafka make this one out of Eitz. So because the Mishnah says it has to be that it wasn't made out of Eitz. So Yontif says he doesn't like the Kesem Mishnah. He says it's also a Davar Tema to say that because every once in a while they would keep Eitz in there, they would call the room Lishka Se'etz based on what they would do there once in a while. So the Tiferes Yisrael, the Mishnah, explains that the idea that maybe it was made out of Eitz and there was dafka a reason to make it out of Eitz. It was a message to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol would stay there, and this was a message to him that just like Eitz could rot and could turn bad, if the Kohen Gadol's Makalka B'maisav, he could rot and not last a very long time himself. And just like Eitz provides peros and is able to nourish others and is able to sprout fruits that are beneficial, the Kohen Gadol, if he does his job properly, is able to be to also sprout fruits that are going to help Klal Yisrael. The backs of these two lishachos and the roofs of all three of them were lined up. And then you have lishchas agola. They had a bar with a pulley system, and that's how they got water into the entire azara. Lishchas agaz is where the Sanhedrin Gadol sat, and that's where they would dan the Kohanim. They would judge the Kohanim, the yichus of the various Kohanim, to determine whether someone deserved to be Oved Avoda as a Kohen. The Kohen Shinimtsubo Psul, and if they found a Psul in the yichus of one of the Kohanim, Lovi Shchorim, Misatev Shchorim, Yotiv Haliklo. He would wear black and wrap himself in black. Misatev probably means like an Atifas HaRosh, or black Atifas HaRosh, like a burqa or something, and he would go out. And he would go out and dejected from the Beis Hamikdash. V'shalonim sabo psul, but if he didn't find a psul, lo vish levanim, umasatef levanim, he would wrap his head and his body in white, and he would wear, some say that the white over here, the Tiferes Yisrael says, means the big dekuna. He would actually put on the big dekuna. Nichnas umashami shemach v'kohanim, and he would go in and he would serve together with his brothers, the other kohanim, v'yom tova yuosin shalonim sabo psul b'zara shalara nakoin. And it was a great celebration that the yichus of Aaron HaKohen was preserved for another person to be able to maintain that yichus and carry it forward. V'kachay omrim, and that's what they would say in celebration. They would say Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu Shalonim Tzapsul Bizaru Shalaron. That bus Hakadosh Baruch Hu, that we are able to preserve the yichus of the Zaru Shalaron. Ubaruch Hu Shabachar Baron Banav Lam Al D'Sharis Tnei Hashem Beis Kadshei Hakadoshim, and blessed Hakadosh Baruch Hu who chose Aaron and Aaron's offspring to stand and to serve in the base Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that was the great celebration that they would have when they would determine that the Yichus was still intact and that we had another Kohen who was able to do the Avoda. Tomorrow we will begin Maseches Nida.